Okay, so today we're going to start the sugya of Chalav Akum, but the sugya of Chalav Akum is not only a sugya of Chalav Akum, it starts with the Mishnah that discusses most Machalei Akum, many, many different examples of Machalei Akum. So what I ask you to do is take a look at the Mishnah and the little piece of Gemara that immediately follows the Mishnah. It seems that almost everyone did that. I think everyone did that, got through that part. What I was unclear about was what to do next after you get through the Mishnah and the little piece of Gemara. Just to let you know in advance for the next few days what we're going to be doing. Our goal for today is to, after we do the Mishnah and the Gemara, go backwards to the top of the, do the section of Mar Makomos in the top of the page, Roman numeral number 1. Tomorrow, Roman numeral number 2. On Friday, Roman numeral 3. And those will be our 3 days on Chalav Akum, and then we're going to move on. I don't want to sit on Chalav Akum for more than 3 days because we have too much else to do. So that's going to be the game plan. But first, let's just go through the Mishnah and the Gemara that follows, and then we'll start discussing some of the relevant topics related to Chalav Akum. So says the Mishnah. We'll read the Mishnah inside. Ve'elu dvarim shalov dikhav masurin ve'eini suran isur hana'a. The following things, when they are gotten from an oved kochavim, are usur, but it's not an isur hana'a. It's only an isur achila. The reason the Mishnah goes out of its way to make that point that it's not an isur hana'a is because this is Maseches Avodah Zarah, and in Maseches Avodah Zarah we have other Mishnayos that list things that are Isurin v'Isuran Isurana. For example, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, the previous Mishnah, started with Elu Dvarim Shalov Dichav Masurin v'Isuran Isurana. And they are Asur Bana. So this Mishnah is giving a different list. Things that are Asur, but are not Asur Bana. For example, what would be something that is Asur Bana that you get from Novi Chavim? Number one on the list, Yayin. You get wine from Novi Chavim, Asur even Behana'a, Yayin from Novi Chavim. But our list, our entire list in our Mishnah, are things that are Asur to eat, but they're not Asur to get Hana'a from. So if you want to start a business where you sell Bishalakum, that's fine, apparently, because it's not an Isur, not a business maybe, but if you want to, you happen to have some Bishalakum, and you want to sell it, that would be Mutter to do. It's not an Isur Hana'a. Okay, so let's see the list. How many items are on this list? Anyone count? 10? Yeah? So says the Mishnah, I didn't count. Says I can count the new boards. Okay, good. So says the Mishnah, number one, now you better be right. Number one, Chalav Shechalbu of the Chavim. That's obviously what we're going to be focusing on for the next few days. If it's Chalav that an Ovid Chavim did the milking of the cow, but then we qualify, Ve'en Yisrael Re'en. And that's a very key phrase. A Jew didn't watch the milking of the cow. So right there is a huge heter. What's the huge heter? You don't need a Jew to milk the cow. What do you need a Jew to do? Watch. All he's got to do is watch the milking of the cow. And that's apparently enough. Let's say you have a guy cooking and a Jew watches. Is that okay? That's not okay. A guy cooking, a Jew watching, the guy's cooking. It's bishalakum. Let's say you have anything else, any of these other Isurim, and a Jew watches. It doesn't help, right? It's dafka by Chalav Akum, we say, Ein Yisrael Ro'ehu. So we're going to have to discuss what that heter is of Ein Yisrael Ro'ehu. So that's number one. Second, Vahapas, bread that's baked by an Akum, also Asur. We're going to have a whole discussion of that. We'll spend a few days on Pas Akum. Good. Third, Vahashemen shalahen, but Rabbi Ubezinu hitir hashemen. Right off the bat, right when we mentioned that Shemen Akum was Asr, but just kidding, it's not really Asr anymore. Rabbi and his Bezin was ready Matir the Shemen. And what does Rashi say on the spot? Who is Rabbi that was Matir the Shemen? Not Rabbi. Meaning there's Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right? But then there's another person who is Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, who is a couple of generations later, same family, named after the Zaydi, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, he was also a Nasi, and guess what Nasiya means? Ha Nasi, it's a translation of Ha Nasi. But we had to differentiate some way between the grandfather and the grandson. So it was actually Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's Beis Din that was Matir the Shemen, not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Beis Din. But either way, this is a gezeira that was made and then was undone. We alluded to it last night. So that's three so far? Three? Yeah, vahashlakos. Number four, any bishul akum, anything that's cooked by a non-Jew, will spend probably 2 weeks on that discussion on bishul akum. Ukvashin shedarkan nasis l'tokan yain v'chometz. Number five, anything that's like a pickling type of thing, a liquid where you would soak things in. You know how like you stick cucumbers into pickling juice and all of a sudden they turn into pickles. Not all of a sudden, over time they turn into pickles, right? So there are certain types of liquids that you would soak things in and it would change the nature of the food. Now, you don't know the exact ingredients of those liquids. It's all kosher ingredients, except sometimes they put wine in it. So since there's a chashash that there might be wine in it, you can't trust the guy that there isn't wine. There might be, so we made a gezeira that you're not allowed to have it. Now, whenever you're going through these, like we said last night, you're going through the Ma'achalei Akum, you always have to think, which of these are about the concern that you're eating something not kosher, and which of these are about the broader concern that you're getting too close with the guy, but not about eating something non-kosher. So this one, kvashin shadakon lasei tokan yain v'chometz, what does it sound like? Macholos asuros, right? Does not sound like it's about chasnos. Okay. Vitirias trufa. Tirias trufa, Rashi fills us in over here, some type of a small fish that is a kosher fish, but when they chop it up into pieces, you can't see anymore, you can't tell what it is, and it could very well be that there's non-kosher fish mixed in and you will never know the difference because it's chopped up. Right, normally, if you want to buy a fish, what do you need to make sure of before you buy a fish? Right, not if you like come from Queens or the Five Towns or whatever, a teaneck where like, what do you mean? Just go to the kosher store. No, you go to a fish market. You're out here somewhere. You go to a fish market. Right, what do you do if you're from Roslyn or right or somewhere in Michigan that where is it? Right, you're from somewhere that right there. So and you go to a fish store. Where in Michigan again?
Birmingham.
You're from Birmingham, Michigan, which, you know, isn't that in Alabama, right? Like, it's that far away. You have no idea. So you go to a fish store. What do you need to do in order to make sure the fish is kosher? You have to see the scales. You don't need to see the fins, because if it has scales, it has fins. You have to see scales. If you see scales on it, then it's kosher. So that's what you have to do in order to identify it as kosher. There's only one exception, Lalavacha, by the way. And that is salmon. The OU holds that you could buy salmon at Costco because the color of the flesh of salmon is so unique that they can't get another fish to look that color, and therefore you can trust that it's salmon even without seeing the scales. Even though it's true that when they have farm-raised salmon, it's only that color because of the diet that they feed the fish. They give it because when they farm raise the salmon, they realized that they were having that the flesh was white when they were farm raising it instead of getting salmon from the wild. They realized that it was white. So but no one was buying it because people didn't want white salmon, right? It's like when they came out with Coca-Cola a few years ago, they had a new marketing gimmick that it was clear Coke, because like nothing about Coke is natural, so they could like, you know, with chemicals they could make it anything, and people didn't want their Coke to be clear. Coke is supposed to look like Coke, it's not supposed to look clear, right? So people didn't want it, so they came up with a coloring agent in the feed that they give the salmon that turns its flesh pink. And that's what they did to the salmon, to turn its flesh pink. So can't you do that with any fish? So they tried. No. Apparently, only the salmon, the flesh will turn that color. It will turn colors, but not that color. That color only... So normally, though, when you buy fish, you got to see scales. So here you have this fish, and it's chopped up, so you don't see the scales. So you have to worry, even though they tell you, no, I promise, it's tuna. Yeah, but I don't know that it's tuna. All I see is what's in the can. I don't know what it really is. Vitzir shein badaga kilbis shotetes bo, and a certain type of brine that kosher fish would be able to, a certain type of fish would be found in kosher brine, but it would not be found in non-kosher brine. So the guy tells you, oh, this is the kosher brine. How come there are no little fish that whose eggs hatched in this brine? You can't trust if you don't see those fish swimming around in there. It's so amazing that this is like things that people would eat. Like if you bought a food, like a dip, and there was like live fish swimming around in it, probably would return it. No, like you would. Excuse me, there was a problem with this. There's live fish in it, right? There's no way you would eat it. But that was like that was the derech. That's what they had. Vachilek. What's chilek? So Rashi says, kosher fish, but when they're very, very tiny, they don't yet have fins and scales. The fins and scales only come later. So it's kosher, because it one day will have fins and scales, but when it's very tiny, you can't see the fins and scales yet. And if you can't see the fins and scales, there are thousands of little species of fish, teeny tiny fish, that don't have fins and scales. It's very easy to confuse them, so you can't trust that you're getting a kosher min from the gut. The korat shel chalasis, this is an intriguing one. What's korat shel chalasis? So Rashi tells us, min perehu. It's a type of fruit, shekoren lazra blaz, umechatchen es kratov besakin. They cut it with a knife. Va'asr mishum shamnunisa desakina. And it's asr because of whatever fat or oil is on the edge of the knife. So we're concerned that that gets on the fruit, and therefore the fruit is asr. So the fruit itself is kosher, but we know that it was the derech to cut it with a non-kosher knife, and cutting with a non-kosher knife will trafe it up. How does cutting with a non-kosher knife trafe anything up? Normally, in order to trafe something up, you need heat to transfer tam from one thing to another. Right? If someone takes a piece of non-kosher food and puts it on your plate, but it's cold non-kosher food that's put on your plate, what do? Take it off your plate and dry your plate, and it's kosher. Right? You don't need to do anything, because nothing happens if there's no heat. So what are we concerned about with the knife? So by knife, there could be two concerns, even without heat. Two concerns. One is what Rashi relates to, shamnunis. That in the knife, there's sometimes, because a knife cuts with such force, whatever it previously cut, it's very hard to clean off whatever you previously cut. So it could be that there will be fats or some remnants of the last food that you cut. So if the last food that you cut with it was non-kosher, so that's going to get into whatever you cut next with it. So that's one concern with a knife, shamnunis. To address that concern, the Gemara tells us later in the Masechet Avodah Zarah, there's an etza to find karka kasha, find hard ground, and take the knife and stick it in the hard ground 10 times. What does that accomplish? Sticking a knife in the ground 10 times? It gets rid of the shamnunis, right? Meaning whatever's stuck on it. So nowadays, is that the best etza? Nowadays they sell sponges, not sponges, Brillo pads, right? That are like these hard, rough texture, and you scrape the knife, and that will accomplish the same thing as sticking it in the ground. That halacha has caused a great deal of confusion, because that works to get rid of shamnunis that's on the knife, actual be'en, actual stuff that's on the knife. It does not work to remove flavor from the knife. Meaning, let's say I took the knife and I cut a hot steak, a hot treif steak with that knife. Can I stick it in the ground 10 times? No, that doesn't work to get rid of. We're not going to do Hechsher Kalim this summer, but that doesn't work to get rid of the actual tam that's balua, flavor that's absorbed in the knife. Sticking the ground only works to remove stuff that's on the surface of the knife, actual be'ed. How would you get rid of tam that's balua in a knife? How would you get actual flavor that's absorbed in the knife out? Hagala. You have to stick it in boiling water, and then it would come out. Kibolo, kakpolto, the same way it went into the knife. That's how it's going to come out. It went in with heat, it comes out with heat. How do you kasher anything? It's with heat. You remove what the... So the sticking in the ground is a major issue, because a lot of people get very confused. They get confused between kashering a knife that was used with hot and sticking it in the ground. They get confused between tevilas kelim and sticking in the ground. Right, I was once at a lunch meal somewhere, and someone, the balabas, wanted to show off what a Talmud Chacham is. So he said, "You see this knife right here? Last week it was not kosher; it was used on a hot milchig, But don't worry, my backyard came to the rescue. We stuck it in the ground, and it is now kosher." Like that knife? Okay, you keep that one. because it doesn't work, right? It only works for shamnunis. It only works for shamnunis to stick it in the ground. The other way a knife can transfer tam to something without heat is if it's a davar charif. If it cuts something that's very sharp, like an onion, a radish, something like that. The answer to every shaila that comes up in the kitchen is mutter. You know, anyone who keeps a kosher kitchen, like the chances of something going wrong in the kitchen that will actually trace something up are very slim, unless there was an onion involved. When there's an onion involved, the answer is always us. So I just gave you smicha right now. You could answer all your there shaylas. If there are any shaylas that a from woman calls with that does not involve an onion, kosher. Any shaylas that she calls with that does involve an onion, you have a problem. So that's it's pretty much so Rashi, we were talking about that the knife is not a concern that this fruit is a dover charif and it's going to therefore transfer tam. No, it's some newness that there's actual be'ed. Fine, says the Mishnah further. Umelach shalkundis, the melach shalkundis, which is Rashi says. What's that? What does Rashi say? Mefarish begumara, yesod gadol. I remember when I was in Karabi Avna many years ago. I had a chavrusa. We were learning Maseches Ksuvos that year. I had a chavrusa, Dov Silverstein, lives in Passaic, New Jersey now. And we learned together morning seder and night seder. We learned together 6 hours a day. And our mahalik when we in Shana Aleph was that we were going to do Gemara Rashi Tosfos Rosh Ran. Right, that's the way we were going to go through. Even in preparing for Shia, that's the way we were going to go through every sugya Gemara Rashi Tosfos Rosh Ran. So by the end of El Zman, we were on, I don't know, Daf Chav Beis or so. Gemara Rashi Tosfos Rosh Ran. So we went to Rav Mendel Blachman to ask him a question because our Rebbe wasn't around. And Rav Blachman said, "Why are you asking me a question on Daf Chav Beis?" I'm like, "Because that's where we're holding." He's like, "Yeshiva just started. What are you doing in Daf Chav Beis?" I'm like, "What do you mean? That's what we're holding. We're like super smart, and we're and we're moving. So we're like on Daf Chav Beis, you know, like, we're great." And he said, "You're such a Maratzi. You don't know anything. You don't even know the first Rashi in the whole Masechta." So we said, "Come on, we know the first Rashi in the whole Masechta." So he showed us the first Rashi in the Masechta, and the first Rashi in the Masechta says, "Begemara mefarishla." Right? Is that in the first Rashi or in the first Mishnah somewhere? Right? In the first Mishnah, "Begemara mefarishla." The Gemara will explain. Oh, we said, "Oh, don't worry, we got it. It means the Gemara will explain." And he said, "Yes, I know what it means." He said, "But why would Rashi tell you that? Why doesn't Rashi say on every line in every Mishnah in Shas, the Gemara mefarishla? Because guess what? That's what the Gemara does to every Mishnah in Shas." So no, there has to be a reason that he's telling you that. Meaning, why does he tell you that? He tells you that because there's something that should be bothering you when you see it. Something that you're not supposed to understand right now. Anything that you could read the Mishnah and be happy, Rashi's not going to tell you the Gemara Mefarishla. It could be that what you're happy with is not the Gemara's Maskana and the correct Pshat, the Maskana said Gemara. But if you could read the Mishnah and be happy, Rashi will leave you alone and we'll deal with it when we get to the Gemara. But if you can't be happy reading the Mishnah, so then Rashi is the same with Gemara Mefarishla. Okay, so here Rashi tells us we're not supposed to know what this is yet. We'll have to deal with it when we get to the Gemara. Rashi's a Malamid. He's teaching us how to read a Mishnah. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Now here's the critical sugya. Chalav l'maynechashla. What's our big concern with milk? What's going to be the problem? I buy milk from a guy. What could be wrong with milk? So says Gemara, two possibilities. Number one, imi shum mechlufei. If the concern is, he's going to tell me it's cow's milk, but really, it's camel milk. Really, it's pig milk. Nah, there's no such concern. Because tahor chiver tame yarok. Kosher milk is white. Non-kosher milk is yarok. What's yarok? So someone said green, someone said yellow. In modern Hebrew, it's green. In Gemara, in Mishneic Hebrew, it's like a yellowish type of color. When the Mishnah or the Gemara wants to say green, what does it say? Yarok kikarti. Yarok like a leek, because a leek is green. So it says, or yarok like grass or whatever, so because it's green. But unless it says green like grass or green like a leek or something like that, it's not going to be green, it's going to be some other color. For example, the Mishnah Nida talks about dam yarok. So dam yarok doesn't mean that a woman has green blood. She's not a Martian, right? It means that it's some sort of something that comes out. I don't know that Martians have green blood, I just assume. But it means that some sort of something that comes out of her body that's not red, that's some yellowish, some other tinge. So over here, yarok doesn't mean green. I don't think the milk is green. It means it has some sort of tinge to it. It's not purely white. It's clearly not cow milk. Anyone will be able to look at it and will know the difference. So if that's the concern he's going to switch it out. No concern. V'mishumi aruve. Oh, but maybe there's another concern. He's going to give you cow milk, but he's going to fill in whatever's missing with some pig milk. He's selling a gallon, but he's only got like 3/4 of a gallon of cow milk, so he's going to fill the other 1/4 of a gallon with pig milk. No, nekum. There's a simple test you could do. Try to make cheese with it. Because only kosher milk can curdle and turn to cheese. Non-kosher milk will never turn to cheese. So just try to make cheese with it and see what happens. And if you can't make cheese with it, then it's kosher milk. But if you can, it's not kosher milk. But if you can make cheese with it, then it's kosher milk. Only kosher milk can make cheese. Non-kosher milk cannot make cheese. Over here, tar and tameh doesn't mean ritually pure and ritually impure. Tar means kosher, tameh means not kosher. Like a behema tameya. When the Torah talks about a behema tameya, what does the Torah mean? Not a behema that has ritual impurity. A behema can't have ritual impurity except for a nevela, right? Or once it's a meichel, once it's a food. But a live animal never has ritual impurity. A live animal cannot be tameh. So what does the Torah mean when it says a behema tameya? It means not kosher. It's a species that's not kosher. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying, okay, so the concern is he's going to mix in non-kosher milk with it. Okay, he'll mix in non-kosher milk with it. So we had a simple eitz. Just check, try to make cheese with it. Says the Gemara, yeah, idukabayi l'gvina hachinami. If you want to make cheese, then you can try to make cheese with it, and that's going to be absolutely fine. But what if you don't want cheese? You want milk. You can't put cheese in your cereal. You want to put milk in your cereal. So it doesn't help me to make cheese. So achamayeskinan dekabayi lekamcha. No, we're talking about that you want it for food, to drink normally. V'nishkol minei kali v'nekum. Says, well, okay, so don't make cheese out of the whole thing. Take a little bit of it and try to make cheese out of a little bit. And then you'll see what happens. Kivan de betar nami ikinisu v'tilakayim ilekul mekum aladimilsa. If you've ever done cheese making, it should be an activity here, I feel like. Cheese making? No? That'd be fun. So if you try to make cheese, not all of the milk will turn to cheese. Some of it will still be liquidy. So you're never going to be able to tell. Because what's going to happen? You're going to take the kosher, what you think is the kosher milk, you're going to try to make cheese, and most of it will curdle and some of it won't. But you're never going to know. The part that didn't curdle, is that just the natural portion of the kosher milk that doesn't curdle? Or is that non-kosher milk? So you'll never really be able to tell. If that's the case, says the Gemara, V'yibay seima, afilu teima dekabayula l'gvina, ika dekai beniatvi. Even if you do want it for cheese making, you'll never be able to tell. Meaning we can go back to our original answer that you're interested in cheese making. It's still not going to be good. You still can't buy from a guy. You can't buy milk from a guy even if you are interested in making cheese with it. Because you may be able to make cheese with it, but there still might be non-kosher milk mixed in. Good, that's the sugya of the Gemara. Now, so I have to ask you, Maskanas HaGemara, you buy milk from a guy. What's the problem? What's the concern?
Taruvas
of non-kosher milk, right? There will be non-kosher milk mixed in there. There is a halacha in your day, and some kufir ches, that if, let's say, yeah, you ever order anything from a kosher restaurant or whatever, how does it come when it gets to your house? So it comes sealed, and usually there's like vod tape wrapped around in such a way where like you need like military grade weapons in order to be able to like get into the food. Like it's sealed well. Right? They seal things pretty well. So there's a halacha that if you're going to trust a guy to bring food to you, because the delivery people are usually non-Jews, you're going to trust a guy to bring food, that you need either a chosam echad or shnei chosamas. Either one seal or a double seal, depending on what the concern is and what the iser is. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Yardek of Yurches, if the iser is an iser d'rabanan, the concern is that what he's going to bring you is something that's asur d'rabanan, you only need chosam echad. But if it's an issue on a daraisa level, and it's not just by food, by the way, it's anything that he might switch out. The example the Gemara gives is tcheles. It needs a double chosam. Why? Because when they give you tcheles, they might really be giving you kala'ila. They might be giving you plant indigo, which is, looks exactly the same. So you need shnei chosamos. You need two chosamos, right? On any on anything that's delivered. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, over here, chalav, what's the concern over here? That he's going to mix in non-kosher milk. Is that a concern midaraisa or midrabana? Let's say he does. Now, according to the Gemara's Havim, that he's going to switch it, he's going to give you non-kosher milk. Is that a problem midaraisa or midrabana? To give you non-kosher milk. No, come on. Pig milk, asa midaraisa or midrabana? That's a problem midaraisa, right? What about a tarovis? We're not concerned he's going to give you pig milk. We're concerned that there's going to be some pig milk in there. Is that a problem midaraisa or midrabana? So in order to understand that, whether it's daraisa or midrabana, we need to take a little bit of a step back. What's the problem with non-kosher milk? Who said that non-kosher milk is asur? Where does it say in the Torah that non-kosher milk is asur? I know non-kosher animals are asur. Where does it say that you're not allowed to have non-kosher milk? So there's a Gemara in Maseches Becharos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, source number one in your Marma Kamos over here. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Tanisua, Shayotze Min Hatame, Tame Vayotze Min Hatar Tahar. Simple rule. Byproduct of non-kosher animals are not kosher. An egg that's laid by a non-kosher bird, not kosher. Milk that comes from a non-kosher animal, not kosher. Milk that comes from a kosher animal, yes, kosher. Says the Rambam when formulating this halacha, Hilchos Machlokes Sura Parak Gimel Halacha Aleph, Kol Machal Hayotze Mimin Min Haminin Ha'asurin Shalokin Alachilasan. Any food that comes from a food that's asur for which you get malchus, Hare Oso Hama'achal Asur Ba'achila, keywords, Minatora. Tanisa daraisa. Whatever comes out of non-kosher is asur ba'achila minatora. Kegon, chalav behem of a chayat meim, milk that comes from a non-kosher animal, beitze of vidag hatameim, eggs of non-kosher birds or non-kosher fish, shenemar ve'es bas hayan azu beitzasa, v'huadin l'kala asur kiyana l'kala dvar madom l'beitza. And he gives you the source in the Torah. That the Torah doesn't tell you about the ya'ana bird being asur, it says bas hayan. Why do you say basayana? Obviously, every yana is a basayana, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be, right? Makes sense, no? Right? And every pig is a basha pig. And a bena pig. Right? Isn't it? So why does the Torah say that? No, the Torah says that because it's telling you that which comes from, that even that which comes out of the non-kosher species is also going to be not kosher. Isur da'oraisa, says the Rambam. Okay. Issa d'oraisa. It was somewhat interesting, though. He says, if it comes, it's an issa d'oraisa, if it comes from the kind of animal that you'd get malchus for eating. Implying that the product itself, you're not going to get malchus for eating. Only the animal that it comes from, you get malchus for eating. But you don't need any implications. The Rambam himself says, very next source number three, halacha vav, few halachas later. Same parak, same, right? Few halachas later. Even though the milk that comes from a non-kosher animal, the eggs that come from a non-kosher bird are asmidaraisa, ein lokin aleihem, no malchus. Shenemar, mi besarim lo sochelu, ala basur loka veina loka ala beitzav ala chalva. Miut in the pasuk. You're not allowed to eat the basar, but any other byproducts, you get malchus if you eat the basar, but any other byproducts you're not going to get malchus. Then the Ram says something stunning. You don't get malchus. It's asur midaraisa. You don't get malchus. And therefore he says, you know, like other things that you don't get malchus. Where else don't you get malchus even though something is asur midaraisa? So I would have said, what did you say? I would have right away said, lavshin b'maisa. Lavini t'klasei. I'd go through all of my knowledge of Maseches Makos and tell you about all the things that you are those essays in the Torah, and you don't get malchus from. What does Rambam say? No, when you eat non-kosher milk or a non-kosher egg, it is ka'ochel chatzi shir shu'asim in Torah vein aloka. It's like eating a chatzi shir. Normally, you only get malchus when you eat a full kazayis. Eat a chatzi zayis, asim in Torah, chatzi shir, asim in Torah. But you're not going to get malchus. So you can eat, you can stuff your face with as many non-kosher eggs, not that you can. If one stuffs their face with as many non-kosher eggs as they can possibly eat, way more than a shear, it's as if he's only eating a chatzi shear. No malchus. Yeah.
Why Why does the Torah pick a Batayana to explain that?
Good question. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't know. I could have given any example. Right? I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. Chatzishur, yeah?
Maybe because it's not Dumya de Lab de Chasima, that's not an explicit Losaset.
Right, so why would you say it's like Chatzishir? Say it's like something Mishum Eino Dumya de Lab de Chasima. Why Chatzishir? Of all the. You know, it's. In fact, it's nothing like Chatzishir. It's nothing like Chatzishir. Why is Chatzishir Asim in a Torah? Meaning, if achila is defined as eating a shir, the definition of achila does not mean ingesting something orally. That's not what that's not what achila means. Achila means eating a kezayis. That's the word achila. That's what it means. So why is it asum in a Torah the chatzi shir? What? So this may be a siag daraisa, a chazilit starufe. That you're eating a chatzi shir now, a minute later you might eat the other chatzi. Chazi l'tzarufe. You can easily get to a shir shalem. Very easily. Can you ever get to a shir shalem of non-kosher milk? Of non-kosher eggs? No. Because no matter how much you eat, it's always like a chatzi shir. So what does he mean it's like a chatzi shir? It's not like a chatzi shir. Chatzi shir is chazi l'tzarufe. This is not chazi l'tzarufe. Why would he pick a mushel of a chatzi shir? It almost reminds me a little bit of the Ramban when he talks about the Isra of Negiya B'Derech Taiva. Right? There's a machlokas in the Rishonim what the nature of the Isra is. Not a machlokas whether it's Asr, but a machlokas what the nature of the Isra is to be Nogeya, to touch a woman B'Derech Taiva in a way that's Taiva. You have to translate that however you translate. There's a machlok is exactly how you translate that. Like it's a handshake, negia b'derech taiva. So the stipler was like, eish lahava about that. That absolutely yes, and it's yari gal yadva. Right? Others, not so convinced that a handshake is derech taiva. Because you rarely see, like, I don't know, a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend in order to show affection, you know, giving a brisk handshake. Right? So you could have, you know, room to debate. But certain things are, you know, are not debatable. You know, that are clearly derech taiva. It's also derech taiva. The Ramban uses the lashon. He says it's like chatzi shir. It's like a chatzi shir. Chatzi shir. What does that have to do with chatzi shir? So sometimes chatzi shir, you know, might be used by Rishonim to describe something that's like a partial violation of the iser. Like you're almost there. It's not quite the iser, but it's a partial violation of the iser. But it is unusual that the Ram, it just file that away, that the Rambam uses Chatzi Shir to describe the iser of Chalav, because that might become relevant when we start analyzing a little bit further. Good. So that's stage one over here. What exactly is this iser? The iser is an iser daraisa, bas hayana, anything that's yotze min atame is tame, anything that's yotze min asr is asr, but no malchus. You don't get malchus, and that's critical. There's no malchus. Ram says because it's like a chatzi shir, but there's no malchus. Really, we learn it from the pasuk because the pasuk says you get malchus for eating the basar, says the Rambam, but not for eating not the basar. When you eat the byproducts of the animal, there's no malchus. Good. Any questions to this point? Good here. So now let's take a look at a shach. The Shach in Yerdei Sim Kuf Yud Ches Sif Aleph. Now the Shulchan Aruch from there. Shulchan Aruch in Sim Kuf Yud Ches. Right, and this is about, you know, how many seals and whatever you need on food that you deliver. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yayin Ubasar Chatiras Dag Shein Basimin. If you send meat or fish or wine in with a non-Jewish delivery man, you need two seals on it. But cooked wine, why is cooked wine better? They don't do nisuch with cooked wine. V'sheichar, o yayin she'irvu bo dvar macherim, kugon dvash, or wine that's mixed with sweetener. V'chein achometz, v'chalav, or milk. Or more, yisupasik v'inim, kol she'isur mi divrei sofrim, anything that's only asur mi drabanan, it's good enough with chosam echad. Whoa, on the list of things that are good enough with chosam echad, because the whole concern is only concern mi drabanan, is milk. And our Gemara said, what's the concern with milk? That he might mix in pig milk. Wait, pig milk is Daraisa Drabanan. Daraisa. You know, Gemalkus, but it's Daraisa. So why is Chosum Echad enough? Isn't the concern that he's going to mix pig milk in, doesn't it mean he might be delivering you something that's also Midaraisa? It's very important you understand this kasha, because you're not going to understand the whole rest of the shir if you don't understand this kasha. Okay? So let's go over this kasha again. Our Gemara said that the concern of milk that you get from a guy is that he might mix in non-kosher milk with it. We have just established non-kosher milk is asur midoraisa. Non-kosher milk is asur midoraisa. No malchus, but asur midoraisa. The rule when it comes to delivering food is that if you are concerned that what he's delivering to you might be an isur daoraisa, you need shnei chosamos. And if you're concerned that what the guy is delivering to you might be an isur midrabanan, you only need one chosam. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins explicitly, when a guy is your milkman, there used to be such a thing called a milkman before the modern refrigeration. When your milkman is a guy, you only need one chosam, because at worst, it's an iser midrabanan. Frek the Shach Akasha, what do you mean at worst it's an iser midrabanan? Non-kosher milk is an iser d'oraisa. Isn't there a concern that he's giving you non-kosher milk? That's the kasha. It's a concern he's giving you non-kosher milk. Is that what the concern is, that he's giving you non-kosher milk? What's the concern? A mixture. Are mixtures also d'oraisa? What if I have a salad? And, you know, sometimes there's, you know, a salad is like a whole meal. They have like meat or chicken covered in the salad. So I have like a few slices of bacon. Doraisa or drabana? Okay, so the salad maybe is not such a great example. Because why? Because each piece can be identified separately. But what if I have a soup and some pig meat fell into the soup? And it cooked with it, so the taste of the pig got into the soup, and then I pulled the pig meat out. That soup now tastes like pig, partially. You can detect the taste. Daraisa or drabana? Is that a nisa daraisa or a nisa drabana? So it depends. It depends. So a little bit of yaradeya here, a little bit of hilchos kashrus. Are you familiar with the concept of min v'mino versus min v'she'eino mino? There are two types of tarovas, two types of mixtures. One type of mixture is when you have two like kinds that mix with each other, min v'mino. Another type of mixture is when you have two unlike kinds that mix with each other, min v'she'eino mino. And they have different halachas. Let's say I have a little bit of treif chicken soup falls into my kosher chicken soup. That is min v'mino, right? Halacha is mida oraisa, batel barov. As long as the majority is kosher, it's fine. Mida oraisa, it's batel barov. Min b'she'eino mino, mida oraisa, some pig falls into my chicken soup. Mida oraisa min b'she'eino mino requires shishin, 60-to-1 ratio of kosher to non-kosher. Any more non-kosher than that, and the whole thing's also mida oraisa. That's the basic rule in Yaradeya. It takes a lot to get there, and it's machlokes rishonim and whatever. But just take that for granted for now. That min b'mino mida oraisa is batel barov. Midrabanan, we require shishim even by min b'mino, but midoraisa is batel barov. Min b'she'eino mino, two unlike kinds mixed, midoraisa you need shishim. So now I'll ask you again, given that bit of information. The guy brings you milk. Is your concern that he's giving you something that's asa daraisa, or is your concern that he's giving you something that's asa midrabanan? So what are we concerned that he mixed in? Pig milk and cow milk. Is that called min b'mina or min b'shena mina? Right? That's the issue. Right? If it's min b'mina, then what? It's only drabbanan at worst. Assuming that the majority is kosher milk. Right? So if it's min b'mina, as long as the majority is kosher milk, it's only drabbanan. In which case, question answered. Right? No problem. We solved it. What was our kasha? How come the Shulchan Aruch says that when you deliver milk, you only need one chosan? Because it's only midrabanan. The worst that could happen, worst case scenario, is it's misdrabanan. What do you mean? Non-kosher milk is misdoraisa. Answer: non-kosher milk is misdoraisa, but a mixture of kosher and non-kosher milk, as long as the majority is kosher, is only aser midrabanan. Midoraisa. It's bottle the row. Yeah.
The taruvus is mashma that the kosher one is row.
So we'll have to see if that's certain. But probably it makes sense that the kosher one will be row. Why does it make sense the kosher one will be row? Because you can't identify it, right? Meaning it looks white. If the non-kosher is a majority, then it would probably change the whole look of it. Let's assume kosher and non-kosher milk is min b'she'eino mina. Min b'she'eino mina. So then what? Then you would need shishim. And if you had shishim, what would it be? It would be mutter. It wouldn't even be asa midrabanan. You would never need chosam echad. Right? Meaning if it's min b'she'eino mino, kosher and non-kosher are min b'she'eino mino, then you would never need chosam echad. Because chosam echad is when you have an issa midrabanan. But if my greatest concern is that he's going to put a drop of non-kosher milk into my giant vat of kosher milk, then what he's delivering me is perfectly kosher. It's 100% kosher. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to go and drop non-kosher things into your food. But if it happens, it's 100% kosher. Bittul is real. We rely on bittul. If it happened in your mother's kitchen, she would never allow it. But it's because she probably didn't study Yerodea. But if she did, that's why I think Sarah Salvechik's wife didn't let him in the kitchen. Yeah, trafing up my own kitchen. Because he knew too much. Question? Huh? So, take a look at the Shach now. Now that we know everything that we know, let's see how the Shach deals with this. Shach source number 4. Mamash kazev v'chalav. Again, going on the line of Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch said what? When there's a milk delivery, you only need one chosam. For a milk delivery, you only need one chosam. Because it's only, at worst, a drabanan. I says the Shach, Afal gav de chalav taimo shema yachlif b'chalav tamei shuasa midor raisa. But isn't the problem of milk from Goyim that they're going to switch it out for non-kosher milk? And that's asa dar raisa kumoshin is bar bereish simin pei aliv. Yesh lomar shechalav tamei nikr shu achur. Because I'm reading Bavod Zara, Lamehem Beis. They're not going to switch it. Because what did we learn in our Gemara? If they switch it, you'll see it. You'll know right away. It's yellow, right? So they're not going to switch it. Torah chiver tamayorok. Vimkein ein locha sheyachlif kol acholav. You don't have to worry that they're going to switch out all of the milk. Oh, rubo. You don't even have to worry that what? What's oh, rubo? That even the majority is going to be non-kosher. You have to worry about that. Eli yesh locha shemehichlif ma'at. De'eino aser elamid rabban. Because that's only going to be an issur drabanan if they put in a little bit. D'midoraisa min b'mino batel. Because on a daraisa level, min b'mino is batel, and the word he means to add, but he doesn't, is batel be rov. K'moshon esbar, simen sadiches. V'chein tiris p'prisha tzivdalid. V'chei agav n'kosev yisrael to klamim chesov din hei. He says, and lots of great rabbis agree with me. Okay. And then he says, Dimeachar de rov chalav hamatzu binenu havi chalav tahar imkein stam chalav humid rabbanan. He says, and besides, who has access to camel milk or pig milk? Most of the milk you find nowadays is cow milk anyway. So, the whole thing is only concerned mid rabbanan. Wow. So this shach has three very great chidushim. In those few words of the Shach, he has three very great chidushim. What are his three chidushim? So chiddush number one is that the guy, the chashash is that the guy is only going to mix in a little bit of non-kosher milk. Okay, not such a great chiddush, because he makes a pretty compelling case for that. Because if the guy was mixing in more than a little bit, what would happen? It would change the color, right? Okay, that's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, kosher and non-kosher milk are called min bimino. They're called the same min. Chiddush number three, that rov is a factor here. That if most of the milk that's available to us is kosher milk, so that's that brings down our level of concern significantly. We're going to focus on chiddush number two because that's the most interesting one. Right? Again, what's chiddush number two? That kosher and non-kosher milk is min v'mina. That's what the Shach writes. Right on the bottom of the page of Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Akiva Eiger calls out the Shach on this, and he says, I don't think that's true. And I don't think you hold this way either. So it's one thing to ask a kasha on someone, you know, I disagree with you. It's a much stronger kasha when you say, you disagree with you. Because the Shach himself defines what's called min v'mina. He says, how do you define what's called like kind, not like kind? Is it bishma, by its name? Oh, that's called milk, and this is called milk. So that's min v'mina. They're both called milk. What other possibility might there be? Well, let me ask you. Think me svara. Why is it that there are different rules for min b'mino and min b'sheino mino? Why don't we say min b'mino on a daraisa level should require shishin? Where does shishin come from? 60. What a weird number. Why shishin? I guess we have to get used to that. Why shishin? Is that woodworking? Yeah, that's what they. What's shishin? Why shishin? What happens when there's shishin? The taste. Shishin makes it undetectable. That you can't taste the item, the non-kosher in it, because it's overwhelmed by the kosher. That's what shishin does for you. Why is there no din of shishin by min b'mino on a daraisa level? They taste the same anyway. They're the same thing. If they're the same exact thing, and they taste the same anyway, so there's no... Shishim doesn't make any sense. Oh, if you have more than shishim of the kosher, the non-kosher, now you can't taste the non-kosher anymore. Well, the non-kosher tastes exactly the same as the kosher. Guess what? You still can taste the non-kosher because it tastes exactly the same as the kosher. And the more you add, the more it enhances the taste. It doesn't... You know, normally the way Bittul works, the Ran in the Dharm has a famous formulation of this, when he says, he talks about the Vashesh Matir, that normally the way Bittul works is that there's a conflict. I have something that's Mutter, something that's Aser, and they butt heads. But if the thing that is Mutter is so much bigger, it overpowers the Iser, and the Iser becomes Bata, loses all of its unique qualities. It's gone. It's indiscernible. Because it's been overwhelmed by Hatter. It's been overwhelmed by Hatter. But when you have Min Bimino, it's not a conflict. There's no battle going on. They have the same characteristics. So the more chicken soup you add to your chicken soup, the more chicken soupy it is. The more chicken soup you add to a drop of milk, the less milky it is. Right? When it's min b'sheino mino, one overpowers the other. Min b'mino, they only enhance each other. So if that's the case, misvara, how would you define what's called min b'mino? The name? Oh, they're both called milk. So if they're both called milk, then it must be min b'mino. Is that how you define min b'mino? What's the most mistaver way to define min b'mino? What's called two like kinds? If they taste the same. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Shach. Shach, you yourself hold in Simon Tzadiches that min b'mino is defined by taste. And kosher milk and non-kosher milk do not taste the same. And therefore, kosher milk and non-kosher milk is the tarobus of min b'sheino mino. And therefore, if it's tarobus of min b'sheino mino, on a doraisa level, you need shishim. And you don't have it. So when the guy is delivering your milk, when your milkman, your non-Jewish milkman, delivers your milk, what's he delivering you? An issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabanan? D'oraisa! Because you don't have shishim and it's min b'sheinu mino. So how come you only need one chalsa, meaning back to Arkasha, shach, your teretz doesn't work. Who doesn't it work according to? According to you, it doesn't work. You're the one, shach, that says min b'mino is defined by tam. And it's a metzius that non-kosher milk and kosher milk don't taste the same. So there's no bittul. How does he know? How does Rabbi Vega know that they don't taste the same? What?
Mar says that they look different.
Look different?
What else?
It doesn't necessarily mean it tastes different. The Coke, when Coca-Cola came with that clear Coke, and the kunst was, if you close your eyes, it tastes exactly the same. One of them was clear. Things that look different sometimes can taste exactly the same.
What's
Ricky Vega's question is, Shach, you're telling me that the reason that the milk concern is only a derabbanan concern is that it's really batel berov, because it's min b'mino, and min b'mino is batel berov on a d'oraisa level, it's really batel berov, but it's not min b'mino. This is min b'sheinu mino. Kosher milk, non-kosher milk are two separate things that taste different from each other, and therefore it's not batel berov. On a d'oraisa level, you need shishin. So you're back to the problem that you asked on the Shulchan Aruch. You have an issur d'oraisa here. How can you rely on chosim echad? How can you rely on one chosim for an issur d'oraisa? Ooh, wow. That's Rabbi Kivega's question. So Rabbi Kivega writes, Ayin shuvas nod b'yehuda. You got to look at the nod b'yehuda and, you know, that will help. See, you can tell Rabbi Kivega lived a few hundred years ago, because someone writing today would quote you the entire Nod of Yehuda, then explain the Nod of Yehuda, and then go back to explain why the Nod of Yehuda, meaning, because that's the way we write nowadays. Because, you know, you got to write big svarim. But, we keep anger, you know, just, I know the Yehuda. Figure it out. Also, it used to be that when Rabbi Kivega would tell people to look in the Nod of Yehuda, you know what people would do? They'd look in the Nod of Yehuda. Nowadays, they look in the Nod of Yehuda, okay, Nod of Yehuda has some answer. Let's go. So, what does Nod of Yehuda say, right? Does he have, so we got to, you know, you got to do the homework, right? So, Nod of Yehuda writes, remember our Rambam? That chalav of a non-kosher animal, yeah, it's also d'oraisa, but there was a but, right? No malchus. Says the Nod of Yehuda, maybe the whole din that min d'she'eno mino requires shishim midoraisa, min d'she'eno mino requires shishim midoraisa, is only when the isser in question is an isser that you get malchus for. Min b'she'eno mino requiring shishim is another way of saying what we commonly refer to as, and if you get nothing else, at least you get some phrase, you know, you learn a new phrase. Tam ki ikr. Tam ki ikr means that if I could detect the flavor in it, it's as if I'm eating it. If I could detect the flavor of non-kosher in this chicken soup, if I could detect the flavor of pig in this chicken soup, it's as if I'm eating pig. Tam, the taste, is ki ikr, like I'm eating it. That's the din of shishim, right? That if it's not shishim, it hasn't gotten rid of the flavor, it's like I'm eating it. And that's a din d'oraisa. Tam ki ikr d'oraisa. So that's why you need shishim mide oraisa. Says Nod Yehuda, maybe that chumra, tam ki ikr, that when I can taste the flavor, it's as if I'm eating it. Maybe that's only true when the isser is a really strong isser. When the isser is a significant isser. Maybe it's not true when the isser is a weaker isser. What would be a weaker isser? Something you don't get malchus for. You know, something that's like chatzishir. Right? A much weaker isser. The Rambam doesn't give an example and say that chalav is like, lav nitikla seh, lav shemamais, because that may or may not be weaker. It might be weaker, may or may not. Chatzi shir, definitely weaker. Says Nadav Yehuda, you're right, it's min b'sheino mina. Non-kosher milk, kosher milk, min b'sheino mina. They're not like kinds at all. Min b'sheino mina. But the whole idea that min b'sheino mina requires shishim is only when the non-kosher ingredient is severe. But if the non-kosher ingredient is not such a terrible issue, not such a big issue, you no longer require shishim and min b'sheino mina. Rov would be enough. Memela, when the guy delivers the milk, and the concern is what? That there's non-kosher milk mixed in. Not rov, but non-kosher milk mixed in. You have a tarovus of min b'sheinu mina, but there's no requirement of shishin. So all you need on a daraisa level is rov, and you have it. So what's he delivering you? Something that's aser? Midrabanan. Ah, how many chasamas do you need for something that's asa midravanan? One. That's the Shulchan Aruch is right. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger means when he says, look at Nadav Yehuda, because that's what Nadav Yehuda refers to. Just to make quick mention, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says he's not convinced that any of this is true. What do I mean, any of this is true? We've been taken for granted in Metzius. I think Ezra was going to ask it before, but I cut him off. We've been taking for granted in the Metzius. What's the Metzius that we've taken for granted? That they taste different. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi. And by the way, if you want to chazer the whole shir, the best way to do it, the best way is to actually look up all the Maamar Kamos, but in the first paragraph of that Har Tzvi in the Maamar Kamos, he goes through all of this. And then he adds his ha'ara at the end. And he says, our Gemara, I have to end with this guy here. Our Gemara was trying to figure out how would you be able to tell if it's kosher or non-kosher milk. And what did our Gemara suggest? Oh, maybe you can try to make cheese with it, and then you'll be able to tell if it's kosher or non-kosher. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, isn't there a simpler way? Taste it! Okay, I can't taste it because I'm a Jew, right? But there's something called a kfeila arma'a the Gemara utilizes all the time. A non-Jew who is a chef and who's sensitive to taste, give him a taste and ask him what it is. The Gemara never raised that possibility of tasting it. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, you know why the Gemara never raised the possibility of tasting it? Because they taste exactly the same. So the chef is not going to help you. And therefore the whole discussion is moot. The whole thing, it is min b'mino. The Shach knew what he was talking about. He wasn't using code words when he said min b'mino, this fancy note of Yehuda, that, oh no, it's really min b'sheinu mino, but it's a lesser isser, so it's like it's min b'mino, that in that it requires rov. No, he called it min b'mino because he meant it. It's min b'mino because it tastes exactly the same. How do I know it tastes exactly the same? The Gemara never said, give it to a kfeila. The Gemara never said, give it to a chef to taste for you. The problem with ending a shir like that is we've just made like this huge machlokas into a machlokas in Metzius. And ABCs of Lumdus. You never want machlokas in Metzius, so it's okay. We're allowed to violate ABCs of Lumdus for one day. Okay, we'll stop there and Bezushim tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be focusing more on Roman numeral 2. So
maybe